In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. I'd like to wish all of you a blessed and happy feast of Saint Mary. May her prayers and her intercessions be with all of us. In the journey of our life, we face every day hardships, tribulations, trials, and how we become conquerors and victorious in the midst of all these hardships and trials. St. Paul answers this question in Romans chapter 8, when he said, "We are more than conquerors in him who loved us." We are more than conquerors in him who loved us. So our victory comes from our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Like the Israelites, when they were defeated before Ai, but God gave them, Ai was a small city, but God gave them victory over a big city like Jericho. What's the difference? In Jericho, they trusted the Lord. They had confidence in him. And they followed exactly what he told them to do. That's why, after their procession around the city for 7 days, God demolished all the walls of the big city Jericho, and they were able to conquer their enemies. But in front of the small city Ai, because one of them commit a sin and stole some belongings that the Lord told them, don't keep anything from Jericho. Because of this sin, they were not able to defeat Ai until God purified them and God cleansed them from this sin. So it is our faith in God that gives us the victory. But as St. Paul said in Romans chapter 10, faith comes through hearing. Faith comes through hearing. Hearing what? Hearing the promises of God. Hearing the word of God. When I hear the word of God and I hear his promises, this will establish me in faith. This will strengthen my faith. And thus, I will be more than conquerors in him who loved us. That's why tonight, let us hear some promises from God. And I would like to review with you 4 promises from God to all of us. And when we remember these promises, this will strengthen our faith. And then we will be victorious and conquerors through Jesus Christ who loved us. And these 4 promises, we will find them in Romans chapter 8. The first promise, we read it in Romans 8, verse 28. St. Paul says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God." All things work together for good to those who love God. St. Paul is assuring us that all things, not most of the things, not often, but all things will work together for good. Even the evil that inflicted on us by others or by Satan himself, God will make it work out for good to those who love him. And all of us know the story of Joseph, how his brothers tried to destroy him, to kill him, to sell him as a slave. But God made all things work together for Joseph. And Joseph told them, "You intended to harm me, but God intended with it good for me." So their evil intention, God converted this evil intention into blessing and goodness for Joseph. All things work together for good to those who love God. Another example is what happened to St. Paul. St. Paul had a disease in his eyes that made his vision weak. And also, he had secretions coming from his eyes that may offend others when they see him with all these secretions coming from his eyes. That's why St. Paul, in his letter to the Galatians, he told them, "Even my trial in the flesh you did not despise, but as an angel from God you accepted me." As an angel from God you accepted me. "And you wished to And my trial, which was in my flesh, you did not despise or reject, but you received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. For I bear you witness that, if possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me." If it was possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me. St. Paul also understood that this disease in his eyes was from Satan, not from God. Satan attacked St. Paul with this disease in order to hinder his service. And St. Paul prayed and asked God to heal him from this disease. And he prayed three times, so God may heal him from this disease. And St. Paul prayed for the benefit of the service, of the ministry, because with this disease he cannot travel alone. He had to have companions with him to help him in his travels. Also, with this disease, many people maybe get disgusted when they see all these secretions coming from his eyes. Another thing, St. Paul loved reading. So with this disease in his eye, he will not be able to read and to write as he wanted. So he prayed and asked God to heal him, as we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8, "Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me." But to his surprise, God told him, no, I will not heal you. And by the way, many times when we pray, and when God answers our prayer by saying no, we think that God did not listen to our prayers or did not answer our prayers. But what I want to tell you is, God can answer our prayers either by yes or by no, because He knows the best for us. So God said to Paul, no. For though this disease came to you from Satan, as St. Paul said, the messenger of Satan, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me. So the Lord told him, although this disease is from Satan, but I will keep it. And I will make this disease, this weakness, to work out for good to you. Number one, I will protect you from pride. You see many revelations. You see many visions. So having this disease, having this weakness, then you will not be exalted. And St. Paul learned this lesson, and he said, lest I should be exalted above measure. Lest I be exalted above measure. So God allowed this disease in order to protect his humbleness and to save him from the sin of pride. Another lesson. God wanted to teach St. Paul to have faith in the grace of God, to put his trust and his confidence in the faith of God, not in our abilities. That's why he told him, my grace is sufficient for you. Do you think that my grace cannot work in your weakness? Do you think that you need to be healthy so that my grace will work for you? No. My grace is sufficient. Actually, my strength is made perfect in weakness. What does it mean? Maybe when I'm strong, I will trust my abilities. I put my all the confidence in myself, without going to God. And the result will be, I will fail and I will fail and I will fail. But if I realize my weakness, then I will put my confidence and my trust in God. And when I put my trust in God, this will give the strength of God the opportunity to be manifested in my life. This will give chance to the strength of God to work at its fullest in my life. That's why God said to St. Paul, my strength is made perfect in weakness. So when St. Paul understood all these lessons, he said, yes, I am more than conquerors in him who loved me. Because he is able to turn my weakness into victory. He is able to turn this hardship into victory. And that's what he said. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I will boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. When I realize my weakness, I will put my faith in God, then I will be strong, I will be victorious. And let me show you how God turned this weakness into victory in the life of St. Paul. With his weak eye, St. Paul traveled almost in the three continents that were known at that time. He labored more than the apostles in his three missionary trips, and the fourth one that was ended by his martyrdom. St. Paul, with his weak eye, wrote more than half of the New Testament. St. Paul, with his weak eye, was reading, was able to read until the last minute in his life. How did we know this? The last letter that St. Paul wrote was 2 Timothy. And in this letter, St. Paul asked Timothy to bring the parchments and the books. Why he is asking for the books and the parchments? To read. So although his vision was weak, but he was able to read. God did not deprive him from reading, because God knows how much St. Paul loved reading. And it was a big concern for St. Paul, all these secretions that come from his eyes. As he said to the Galatians, "My trial in the flesh you did not despise." He was concerned about this. And God, even with these secretions, we read in the book of Acts that the people took handkerchiefs from the body of St. Paul. Why? Because God gave power to these handkerchiefs to cast out demons and to heal diseases. So instead of the people getting disgusted by these secretions, actually now, they want to get these handkerchiefs in order to be healed by them. Yes, indeed. All things work together for good to those who love God. Even the things that are initiated by Satan, like the thorn of the flesh of St. Paul. That's why we are more than conquerors in Him who loved us. Another promise that we need to remember in order to strengthen our faith and to be victorious through this faith, that God invested in us His blood. We are purchased by His blood. Imagine if you invest all your money in a certain project. How much you will defend this project? How much you like this project to succeed? Absolutely. You invested all your money in this project. But the Lord Jesus Christ did not invest in us gold or silver or money. He invested in us His blood. He purchased us by His blood. So do you think after God purchased us with His blood, God will make us fail? Or God will allow us not to be victorious? That's why St. Paul said, if God is for us, who can be against us? God is for us because He purchased us. Now we are His children. We belong to Him. So God will not allow anybody to be against us. When the army of Aram went to attack Elisha the prophet, his disciple Gehazi was afraid. But the faith of Elisha was so strong. He knows that God will make him victorious. He knows that he is more than conqueror in Christ, in God who loved him. That's why he didn't lose faith. He didn't lose heart when he saw an army fighting one person. Can you imagine army fighting single person with his disciple? But Gehazi's faith was not that strong. He started to lose hope and to be scared and terrified. So Elisha prayed for him and asked God to open his eyes to see the invisible army that's surrounding us. Because we are surrounded by the cherubim and the seraphim, by the angels, by all the heavenly hosts. God sent his angels to protect us. The angel of God is around those who fear him, to protect them and to guard them. So Elisha prayed and asked the Lord to open the eyes of his disciple Gehazi. And God opened the eyes of Gehazi. And he saw thousands of thousands and myriads of angels surrounding them. In their number, they outnumbered the army of Aram. So Gehazi said, "Yes, indeed, those who are with us are more than those who are against us." We should not lose heart, we should not lose hope or feel defeated if we know that God is for us, God purchased us. I like what David said to King Saul. When Saul was hunting David to kill him, but David was not afraid. He didn't feel defeated. And he said to Saul, "If God allowed you to kill me, then I will not be able to stop God. And if God did not give you permission to kill me, you cannot kill me, regardless." And here we should know that our life is in the hand of God, not in the hands of anybody. And if God allowed some trial or some hardships to come upon us, like what happened with Job, we trust that all things work together for good, because we are His. He purchased us. And if God did not give permission that we will be hurt, nobody can hurt us. Nobody can harm us. Regardless how hard they will try to hurt the children of God. Even St. Paul, when he was in prison, and there were some rumors about Nerone might sign the execution of St. Paul. But St. Paul did not lose heart, because he knows that his life is in the hand of God, not in the hand of Nerone. And he told them, "I will rejoice, because I know that all these things will turn into my deliverance. As we read in Philippians chapter 1, verse 19. I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayers and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. In other words, he said, Nero cannot kill me unless God gave him the permission to kill me. And if God did not give him the permission, then Nero will not be able to kill me. According to my earnest expectation and hope, that's his faith, that in nothing I shall be ashamed. His faith in God, in nothing I will be ashamed. God will never turn me down. That's my confidence in him. But with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. Whether God allowed me to be delivered from the prison into the world, or God allowed me to be delivered from the prison into heaven, I know God will be glorified in me, whether by life or by death. I'm not afraid even from death. Death is not anymore an enemy to us. Because Christ, in his resurrection, he abolished the power of death. Yes, before the resurrection, we were afraid of death and we were in bondage. But after the resurrection of Christ, death actually is like a bridge to heaven. That's why St. Paul said, for to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. To live is Christ, and to die is gain. Death became a celebration in the life of the children of God. When we say the feast of Saint Mary, not this one, but the one we celebrated in January. The feast of Saint Mary in January is the feast of what? Of her departure, of her physical death. So it became a feast. To die is gain. Even through our faith, we are victorious over death. Death cannot defeat us. And St. Paul said, if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. So if I live, I will be serving you, and I will be making fruit for Christ from my labor. And if I die, I'll be in heaven with Christ. That's why St. Paul, he didn't know what to choose. He said, what I shall choose, I cannot tell. What I shall choose, I cannot tell. I am hard pressed between the two. I am hard pressed between the two options, between to die or to live. To die, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. And to live, to remain in the flesh, is more needful for you. See here how St. Paul understood that if God is for us, nobody can be against us. Nero is not against us. The princes of the world and the magistrates cannot hurt us. Satan cannot harm me, because my life is in the hand of God. And God is beneficent, which means he only knows to do good. That's why we are more than victorious, more than conquerors in Him who loved us. If we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, and if we know that if God is for us, who can be against us? This will strengthen our faith. And we will know that we are more than victorious in Him who loved us. But I used a term which is not 100% theologically correct. When I said we are the investment of God, I used this term. But this term is not correct. Why is not correct? Because when you make investment, you yourself will gain something. That's the word investment means. You will have some profit, some interest from this investment. But when I cannot say God invested His blood in us, because God did not profit anything. He did not gain anything. As we say in St. Gregory liturgy, you are not in need of my servitude, but I am in need of your lordship. So, why God purchased us with His blood? Why? What is the reason? The reason is not to make investment, not to make profit. But the reason is because He loved us. He loved us. One of the church fathers said, the love of God is the nail that nailed Him to the cross. It's not the Jews. It's not the betrayal of Judas. No. It is the love of Christ. His love nailed Him on the cross to save us. Do you know how much God loved us? St. Paul said, verse 32, He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? He loved us to the extent that He did not spare His own Son. Tell me, what is more precious for God the Father than His Son? Is there anything more precious for Him than His Son? Absolutely not. And He did not spare His own Son. To that extent, He loved me. So, if God loved me that much, He did not spare His Son, then how shall not He, with Him, also freely give us all things? If He gave us His Son, with His Son, He will give us anything else freely. If you understand this, then we will say we are more than conquerors in Him who loved us. If we believe in this, if we believe in love of God, and here St. Paul, when he spoke about this victory, he said, we are more than conquerors in Him who loved us. So our victory, not because we are worthy, not because we are strong, not because we are powerful, but our victory is because He loved us. And His love to us is not because we are worthy. He loved us because He is love, because He cannot do anything other than loving us. God is love. And that's what we say, His love is unconditional. It's not conditioned on whether I am worthy or not. His love to us, unconditional. St. Paul says, while we were sinners, Christ died on the cross. He shed his blood for sinners, not for righteous. For people who rejected him, he prayed for them. God forgive them. Father forgive them. So in this love, we are victorious. But you may tell me, many times I feel defeated and I feel hopeless and I feel there is no victory. I'm just failing in everything. I will tell you, even if you go through these feelings, if you remember the love of God, you'll be victorious. Even in the midst of your hopelessness, in the midst of your despair, in the midst of your failure and defeat, St. Paul went through a similar experience. As we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8, St. Paul is telling us, for we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life. This trial, this hardship, was beyond the measure, beyond their ability. They couldn't take it. And if St. Paul says, even we became despaired even of life, that we despaired even of life, this means it was very, very serious. It was a very serious matter. Even we despaired of life. So how St. Paul, in this specific situation, how he can say we are more than conquerors in him who loved us? St. Paul said, if I am hopeless and I'm helpless, then I am like a dead man, a dead person. Because a dead person is hopeless and helpless. When a person dies, there is no hope for his recovery or healing. And St. Paul said, when we realized that we are dead, we despaired even of life. When we realized that we are dead, we said, we cannot put our confidence in ourselves. You cannot put your confidence in a dead person. So they put their confidence in God. But how can they put their confidence in God? Because God is able to raise the dead. That's exactly what he said. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. So he said, if I am hopeless, Christ is the hope of the hopeless. If I am helpless, Christ is the help of the helpless. If I am dead, Christ is the resurrection, the life, and truth. So all what I want to do, or I need to do, is to remember the love of God and to put my confidence in Him who raises the dead. That's why he said in verse 10, who delivered us from so great a death. Christ delivered us from so great a death. Not only he delivered us, listen to the rest of the verse, and does deliver us. So he delivered and does deliver us. In whom we trust, in whom we believe, in whom we have faith that he will still deliver us. So he delivered us. He does deliver us, in whom we believe and we trust that he will deliver us. This is the faith that we need to make us victorious and more than conquerors in him who loved us. To know that Christ did not spare his own son because he loved me. And if he loved me, even if I am dead, he can deliver me from so great a death. He can deliver me from so great a death, as St. Paul said. And this was the weakness of Mary and Martha. Mary and Martha trusted that the Lord can heal Lazarus. But if Lazarus is dead, then they are defeated. There is no hope. That's why when Christ came to visit Mary and Martha, both of them told him, if you were here, our brother wouldn't die. As if your ability is only to heal the sick. But if our brother dies, then you cannot do anything. So the Lord told her, if you believe, you will see the glory of God. Your brother will rise again. So she told him, yes, yes, I know. He will rise again the last day. But Jesus told her, no, I'm not speaking about the last day. I am the resurrection. I am the truth. I am the life. He who believes in me, even if he dies, he will live. But Martha couldn't comprehend what the Lord was saying. So the Lord told her, show me when you buried him. And he went with Mary and Martha. They thought that he's going just to cry, and that's it, or to say a prayer on the tomb. But to their surprise, the Lord instructed them to remove the stone. And Martha went to the Lord as if she is telling him, don't you understand? He is dead. If you were here, yes, my brother wouldn't die. But now he is dead. He is dead for 4 days. There's a stench. So the Lord told her, Martha, didn't I tell you if you believe you will see the glory of God? Where is your faith? Where is your faith in the resurrection? And then after he prayed, he called Lazarus. Lazarus, come out. And everybody was surprised when they saw Lazarus coming from the tomb. This is our Lord, who is able to raise from the dead. That's why we don't feel even defeated by death. Because our God, who loved us, is able to raise from the dead. That's why death is not an enemy. Death is gain for the children of God. As St. Paul said, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If we live, we live to Christ. And if we die, we die to him. who are not afraid or fearful of death. So we are more conqueror than him who loved us, because he makes all things work together for good to those who love him. Because if God is for us, who can be against us? And also because God loved us to the extent that he did not spare his own son, but he gave him on the cross. So with him, he will give us anything else freely. In this love, if we believe in this love, then we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And this brings me to the last promise that we need to remember in order to strengthen our faith, in order to be victorious through our faith in Christ. That nothing will separate us from the love of Christ. In other words, nothing will make Christ stop to love me. Nothing will make Christ cease to love me. Nothing. St. Paul said, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?" And this verse, we can say, who can separate me? Who can stop me from loving Christ? But more correctly, who can make God or Christ stop to love me? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation, distress, persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Maybe my friends will leave me during the time of tribulation. Maybe my relatives will forsake me during the time of persecution and sword. Me, my beloved, will stay away from me during the time of distress and famine and nakedness. But Christ, never. Never. As St. Paul said, I am persuaded, I am convinced, I am totally believe that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing will separate me from the love of God, which demonstrated to us in Jesus Christ. St. Paul actually told us a very nice analogy to understand how much God loved you and how much God will never stop loving us. Here is the analogy. If I committed a crime and all the evidences are against me and I was arrested while I am doing this crime, and the prosecutor is a very harsh person and he hates me and he wants to destroy me completely. The judge is a very just one. He's a just judge, very fair, cannot bribe him, cannot twist his rulings or his judgment. So in this scenario, what are the chances for this criminal to get out of this trial? 0%. He was arrested while he is committing the crime. All the evidence against him, the prosecutor is very harsh one. He hates him. He wants to destroy him. And the judge is very fair. But if we assume that this judge can also work as a lawyer, and he can defend the criminal against himself, so he will be the judge and the lawyer in the same time. Of course, this is impossible in any court here on earth. But if the judge became the lawyer and the judge at the same time, and is willing to defend this criminal, of course, no lawyer wants to lose a case. But I told you, the judge is very fair. So how can he defend, how he can justify this criminal? He will say, I will justify him. How? I will take his penalty. I will pay the penalty instead of him. I will take the penalty of death instead of him. Why? How much you are going to charge him? Say nothing. I will do it for free. Why? What forced you to do this? To defend this criminal and to die instead of him freely? He answers and say, you don't know. This criminal is my son. And I cannot see my son dies. That's why I will die instead of him. If he dies, this is the end of it. But if I die, I will rise again. And I will give him life. So, the prosecutor now cannot bring a charge against this criminal, because the penalty is paid. Satan cannot make a complaint or bring a charge against us, because the penalty is paid. And who is the judge? He's my father. The judge is my lawyer, the one who died for me, to defend me. And what he is expecting from me, as I told you, it's free, but he is expecting me to live for him, to live in gratefulness and in appreciation for what he did for me. He expects for me to take my case to him, to tell him, please defend me in this case, because he will not force me to accept this justification. I have to come to him and tell him, defend me, and I will live my life in gratefulness and in appreciation for what you did for me. So it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. This is exactly what St. Paul said when he said in verse 33, who shall bring a charge against God's elect? Who shall dare to bring a charge? Do you think Satan will dare to bring a charge against the people of God, the children of God? St. Paul answers this question. It is God who justifies. It is God. We are his elect, we are his children, and he is the judge. So Satan cannot complain against the children of God before the judge. Why? Because he who condemns, it is Christ who died, who paid the penalty. and furthermore is also risen to give us life, who is even at the right hand of God, doing what? Who also makes intercession for us, defending me as a lawyer, makes intercession for us. That's why he concluded this by saying, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's why in verse 37 he said, yet in all these things, in all these hardships, in all these tribulations, in all these trials, in all, not in most of them, not in 90% of them, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. That's our victory, through his love. In all these things, we are more than conquerors in him who loved us. So, if we keep in our hearts and our minds these four promises that all things work together for good to those who love God. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? And who shall separate us from the love of God? If we remember these four promises, then regardless what we are going through, regardless the hard time and the hardships that we face every day, regardless of all these things, we can say with St. Paul, yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.